You're going to stop undergraduate fees coming up, aren't you?
We would freeze fees, yes.
How do you do that?
How do you do it?
Yeah. What's the implications of that? Where do we find that money from if students aren't paying it themselves?
In
last year,
2018-19, that would cost 3.8 million. In 2019-20, it would cost 7.6 million. We believe that's a reasonable sum to pay. We don't believe we can have ever increasing fees. We're up to approximately £4,000 now. And we're seeing the impact in terms of student debt. I'm still paying off my student loan. My total loan was about £16,000. There are students today who see a £16,000 loan.
Why shouldn't
a
student pay for their own education rather than the taxpayer?
We believe in education. We believe in state-funded education. We don't believe that we should effectively move towards a more privatised market model. If you believe in education, if you believe it's a social good, then we believe it should be funded socially. Now, what I'd like to be saying to you is that we would scrap fees altogether. The reality is that would cost over £100 million a year. We can't afford that. But what we would like to see at a UK level is a different approach to how we fund university education.
But there is lots of money swirling around the system, isn't there? So much money, Stephen, that you would increase spending on cycle infrastructure throughout Northern Ireland to the value of £25 per person living in Northern Ireland.
And you talk about money swirling around. Let me talk about some of the different choices we would make. The other parties are still proposing to reduce corporation tax at a cost of £200 million per year to the taxpayer, at a cost of £200 million to our public and services.
No, being quite a clever politician, because you're talking about the cost of corporation tax and you're not factoring into that any extra business that would come back.
Okay, well,
are you?
As you know, you've just done with other figures. If you let me answer, Stephen, as you know, I was on the ELI committee. The Economic Advisory Group, who was one of the champions of the corporation tax cut, told the ELI committee that they didn't anticipate us breaking even for 11 years. That's 11 years of us losing public money.
No, but the £200 million you've just quoted is inaccurate, isn't it? Because you've taken a £200 million cost and you haven't factored in any business coming to Northern Ireland and offsetting against that cost.
Where would the offsets be?
Well, they would create employment. There would be extra spending in Northern Ireland if there were more staff here. Have you brought any of your figures?
But one of the things the corporation tax cut does, one of the rules from the UK Treasury because of EU state rules, is that any business that was found to be going to Northern Ireland rather than the UK, that any increased tax take, we would have to compensate the UK government for it. So in other words, if it was seen we were taking money away from the from GB, because they were coming to here for our corporation tax cut, we would have to compensate the
government. The £200 million cost that you've just cited, if there was a massive multinational company that brought their headquarters to Belfast City Centre, have you costed to offset against the £200 million the extra spend that all of those employees would bring to Northern Ireland?
The Economic Advisory Group, promoting the scheme, were saying that it would be 11 years before we'd even
break even.
Did
they say there would be a £200 million net cost?
We've never been given, and this is one of the problems, we've never been given an exact figure.
So how are you quoting £200 million net cost then?
£200 million have been, was £300 million originally, then UK reduced its rate of corporation tax, so the cost was deemed
to go down.
So you're
saying £200 million net cost?
£200 million net cost is the figure that has been the working figure that people have been using.
We nearly got sidetracked off the £25 per person there. For every person in Northern Ireland, this is, right, towards a cycling strategy.
Well, it's per head. We're not giving people £25. It's per head of population. We would spend £25 on cycling. Bring us in line with other European countries.
£45 million a year.
That's right.
You would spend on bikes.
I think the thing that's worth pointing out, it's not going to be in perpetuity. it's not going to be in the long term. It's not going to be every year forever. What it is about putting the investment in our cycling infrastructure to bring us up
for
to
how many years
to European countries. So
how many years would you spend $45 million a year on bikes?
Well, we're proposing it for this assembly. This is an assembly manifesto for the next 5 years, and that's what our commitment is.
So you'd spend £225 million on cycling
and improving our cycling infrastructure. Yes.
What would that buy us?
If you think, look at one of the things we don't have, for example, is segregated cycle lane. So I always amazes me the cycle lane I have in my constituency around the corner from my office. There's a cycle lane and there's cars parked in it the whole way up it. So there's a cycle lane, but you can't cycle in it. So what we need is properly segregated cycle lanes. We would invest in greenways. People certainly in this part of the world will be well aware of the Cumber Greenway. We'd like to see the expansion of greenways.
So of all the priorities in Northern Ireland, you would set aside £225 million for cyclists.
Well, if you look at some of the priorities,
not more money into social housing, not more money into health and education. You'd throw £225 million at cyclists.
And that's where you're wrong, Stephen, because that is putting money into health. It's a preventative measure in terms of improving people's health. If we can get more people active, using active travel measures. It is an education, because part of that money would fund through schools and cycling programs in terms of how to cycle safely. It would fund the likes of Safe Routes to School. So it's not, and this is, I think, a mistake other parties make. Whilst we have to, for the purposes of manifesto, separate it into health and education and different areas of spending, these things, they don't operate in silos, or at least they shouldn't, and they wouldn't under the Green Party. So the spend in cycling is an investment in our health, it is an investment in our well-being, and it is an investment in our education.
Because you go beyond cycling, you would also throw more money into walking.
I think, again, it's about having the right infrastructure.
How much money would you put into walking?
Well, if we look at the Greenway example, I mean, it's not, again, the two things aren't mutually exclusive.
But how much of our money would you commit to walking?
We haven't budgeted a figure for how much we
rebalance transport spending towards public transport and active travel, such as cycling and walking.
Yes.
So you would rebalance transport spending. So you would take it away from where? Into walking.
So, for example, in our manifesto, we have a suspension of new road building programs.
Building roads and put more money into walking.
You've just read it out, Stephen. You've got it in front of you. It's rebalancing into public transport and active transport. So it's buses, it's trains, walking.
A road building program.
We would suspend new road builds. What we would do is invest in our current infrastructure, maintaining the existing roads.
But rather than build a new road, you would put money into walking. Walking from where?
You're taking one part of it. I put money into public transport and active transport.
You've said walking.
Yes, as part of active transport. Yes.
Why do we need to put money into walking?
It's
walking from where to where? Why can't we walk now that you're going to throw money at?
A greenway is an example of where you put investment into cycling and indeed walking. But what we're saying is
rebalance. You said cycling and walking.
Yes, cycling and walking. Yes, and you can cycle and walk in the same places. You might need a demarker to mark out where you cycle and where you walk, but you can have the same footpath that can include cyclists and walkers. But if I can get back to the point of rebalancing, we spend less than 20% of our transport budget on public and active transport. We had a strategy. It wasn't a Green Party strategy. It was a government strategy, a regional transport strategy to spend a minimum of one third. We never came close to that. And what the Green Party is saying is we have to end our obsession with building new roads and start investing in our public transport infrastructure, because not everyone has a car. It disadvantages people with disabilities, disadvantages people who are too young to drive. What we need is a socially sustainable public transport infrastructure to give people real choice.
You would support euthanasia in Northern Ireland?
We support dignity in dying. We do believe people should have, it should be the choice of the person, not the state, when a person dies.
And how would they take their own life?
We've seen it in other countries. Switzerland's obviously the well-known example whereby you can have medically assisted ending of somebody making the choice to end their own life.
In Switzerland, there's a specific clinic for that. It's called Dignitas. Mm-hmm. You would set up specific clinics in Northern Ireland for people to go and take their own life, would you, or how would it work?
Well, what we want to establish is first the principle. I think it does is something that we need to explore carefully. I think we need to be sensitive about the subject. We've seen, you know, we've seen numerous stories in the press, including here in Northern Ireland, with Liam Clark wrote about his own illness and how he would have liked the opportunity to decide when and how he died. Terry Pratchett, maybe in the more international stage, has talked about it. And many people will look at the own suffering of relatives in their family. And people might have wanted that choice. We're not saying what people should do, but we're saying it's not for the government to decide when a person can die. It shouldn't have to be that we cling on to life and force people to go through pain and suffering if they wouldn't choose it for
themselves.
Doesn't
palliative care remove the pain?
We can do so much, but there does become a point where the medication loses its effect. I don't think there's such a thing as complete protection from pain. And again, it's about people's quality of life and about people's own choice. It's not about making decisions in their behalf, but it's about giving them the choice.
The Green Party will bring forward an Irish Language Act. Very topical subject. Mm-hmm. Why?
I think it's important that we respect the identities of the people of Northern Ireland, that we give equal provision, or at least similar provision that's given to the Welsh language, that's given to Scots Gaelic, and is given in the Irish Republic.
What would an Irish Language Act ensure, Stephen? What would it guarantee?
Well, I think some of the things we can protect is really about the promotion of the language. The majority, if we look at the Scottish example, the majority of the money goes into education. So it's making the opportunity to learn the language more widely available. It's providing the resources.
But for example, would it guarantee the right of someone to speak Irish language in court? Should all street signs be in Irish language?
Well, the street lines issues become a bit of a misnomer. In Scotland, the overall figure for street signs was £450,000.
No, but in terms of a point of principle, should all street signs be in Irish as well as English in Northern Ireland?
Well, we would consult on these issues. I think we have to listen to the community.
Sure, but it's in your manifesto that you would bring one in. So let's hear what your view is. Would all street signs be in Irish? Do you think they should be?
Well, I think it's something, if it is something we come to, what I don't want to see is certain areas having street signs in Irish and others not.
Which is why the question is relevant.
Yeah.
Do you think all street signs in Northern Ireland should be in Irish as well as English?
I don't, and I'll be honest about this, I don't have a fixed position in that. We would go out to consultation.
You haven't thought about it?
Of course I've thought about it, but ultimately it's not about what I want. It is about going out to public consultation, see what the community needs are, see what
but
the community wants.
But you're a political party standing in an election.
Yeah, of course.
So what is your view?
Well,
as an individual, do you think in principle, as a point of principle, all street signs should be in English, in Irish as well as English?
Well, I'm not here as an individual. I'm here as leader of the Green Party in Northern Ireland.
And your role as leader, some leadership. So all street signs be in Irish as well as English?
What we're saying, what we're putting in our manifesto is that we support the principle of having an Irish Language Act. We would consult on that and see what the provisions are.
Let me try again. You're the leader of a political party. You're saying that it's right that someone's language should be respected, and that they should have an identity in Northern Ireland if that is their identity. Therefore, and you've also said that you don't think some street signs should be in Irish and others not.
Yeah, I would be opposed to that.
I
don't think street signs are the crucial issue in all
this.
I think it's about education, it's about protection of the language,
and
promotion of the language.
But
the issue of street signs does come up.
Okay, but because you've said that you don't think some should be in Irish and others not, therefore, it's one or the other, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe
so. And what's your view?
As I say, I don't have a fixed position in that. And I'm here
to talk about... your opinion?
I'm here to talk about the manifesto.
Our commitment
is to the principle of an Irish
language.
You don't
want to tell us. You're another politician that doesn't want to give your view in case it loses you a few votes, aren't you?
I've just said I want an Irish Language Act, Stephen. That may
do
well
lose
me a
few votes. Do you want all street signs in Northern Ireland or none?
I think it's
all
clear
street signs in Irish or none.
I think it's clear that I'm here given a position that what's in our manifesto, which is we support the principle of an Irish Language Act. We would go to consultation with the commitment to implementing legislation to protect, promote and enhance the Irish language. That may well lose me a few votes.
That's all words that doesn't address my question. So we're currently talking about street signs. I'm asking the leader of the Green Party, all street signs in Irish as well as English mm-hmm. or none? Please answer that question.
And I've answered the question
by
telling you we would go to public consultation, and that's an honest answer.
Your opinion? Think it through now if you haven't before. Do you think they should be in Irish as well as English? Because this does test your robustness in giving someone their identity or not if they feel that whenever they go in Northern Ireland, should be in Irish as well as English. So would you give it to them or not?
I don't think it comes down to that issue. I think it's about the principle of the protection, promotion and enhancement of the Irish language. The Green Party is committed to that. We will consult.
We don't know
on
what the Green Party is committed to with street signs, do we?
Well, if that is the issue for people, then they'll
well, you're
go
making
into the,
an issue because you're not answering the question.
Well, I'm
why
not
put this
an
stuff
issue?
In a manifesto if you won't tell us?
We have put exactly in the manifesto.
Well, an Irish Language Act means nothing unless you tell us what's within it.
Yeah.
And you won't tell us. So we don't know.
I've told you there would be an investment of an education and promotion.
Sure. So the Green Party may ban Irish all street signs.
What that looks like, we would go to public.
So the Green Party may ban Irish from all street signs, correct? Because you wouldn't have one or the other. You won't tell us whether it would be in all street signs or none. Just up in the air, we don't know. Let's move on to the courts. Should someone have a right in Northern Ireland to fight their legal case in Irish? Even if the jury doesn't speak it and there's a translator?
I think it is something that we need to consult on to see
what's
what the
your opinion
there. We need to go to consultation about these issues.
Sure,
and see
but
what
your you put it in your manifesto, Stephen. So what's your deep thinking? What's your opinion? So a scenario, it's been well rehearsed actually. Mm-hmm. A scenario in court in Northern Ireland where someone says, "I want my trial in English." In Irish. Mm-hmm. And the jury doesn't speak Irish, or some of them don't. Mm-hmm. So there's an interpreter. And some people would argue that the nuances of losing what mm-hmm. someone's saying themselves, and therefore it's through an interpreter, you lose something. So would you give someone the right to hold their trial in Northern Ireland in Irish or not?
And what I've said, yeah, I my emphasis would be on education. That's been the emphasis in other countries. It's about the education. It's about investing in education, promotion,
coming
enhancement
away from the question
of the language. It is now, because I've given you the answer, and I'll keep giving you the answer that we would go out to consultation.
But do you understand that going out to consultation is code for you haven't thought it through?
I wouldn't say it's because we haven't thought it through. It's because I could give you an opinion. It would be one person's opinion.
It would be the leader of the Green Party's opinion.
We need to hear the views
like
of the wider community.
Like you've said, you would spend money on walking. Like mm-hmm. you've said, you would spend $45 million a year on cycling. So you're mm-hmm. very happy to give me your opinion mm-hmm. when it suits you. You didn't say go out to consultation on that.
No, but when there's
something as controversial as the Irish Language Act, you duck it. You sit on the fence.
Well, in terms of the cost, I'm happy. The cost for an Irish Language Act, if we look at comparable models in Scotland and Wales, the cost would be somewhere between 10 and 20 million. The exact cost would depend on the decisions we make around those provisions.
And have you answered that court question?
I've answered it the same way I answered the science question. We would go to public consultation on it.
Right. And would you put forward a view?
We would collect the views, we would assess them, we would look at the models in other countries and see what is the best way forward.
So you don't
in
know.
Consultation.
So
with
it's
the
fair
community.
To say you don't know.
Well, I think
it's in your manifesto, yet you don't know.
Well, it's in our manifesto that we're committed to an Irish language.
Would every child in Northern Ireland have a right to be educated in Irish?
Every child have the right to be. Well, we've said we would expand to the educational provision. So the option to learn Irish should be there.
In every school?
I think, again, that is one where the demand permits it.
So every school would have to offer an Irish language module?
I think what we're saying is we would expand the provision and meet the demand that's there.
Yeah, but as a right, because I'm trying to mm-hmm. understand what an Irish Language Act would guarantee. Mm-hmm. So as a right, should any child going into any school have a right to an Irish language module? Because you also support integrated education. It's a big part of your manifesto. So if you're wanting all of our children learning together, as part of that, do you think every child, if we had integrated education across Northern Ireland, do you think every child should have the right to learn Irish?
I think where the demand's there, the demand should be met. So what I wouldn't do, for example, is force every child or require every child to learn Irish. But where the demand is there, I do think the demand should be met, and that's where the cost would come into it. But if I can take your point about educating every child together, I think that is something that's very important. You know, if we look at the fact that we still divide our children at age four in Northern Ireland, there is now a campaign set up by the Integrated Education Fund, Integrate My School. Consistently, there's a legal requirement in the Department of Education to facilitate integrated education. But even though the evidence is there that the parental demands there, that commitment isn't being met. And one of the things we have committed to is establishing a process by which parents could legally require their school to become integrated.
Finally, why should someone vote for the Green Party if you're a relatively small party? And if people are wanting power in Northern Ireland, if they're wanting real influence, they're not going to get it from you lot because you don't have enough numbers.
Well, I think if you look at our track record in the Assembly, I brought in the Children's Act as a single member at that time, requiring government to work together on children's issues. The community sector campaigned for it for a number of years. I took it forward, was initially told you're not getting it. I was persistent. I got it. If you take the issue, topical one of ministerial accountability, I twice brought forward a proposal to extend the powers of the Standards Commissioner to ministers. In other words, ministers could be independently investigated if they were alleged to have breached the code. The Assembly twice said no. On the third occasion, it said yes, in fact, in its final act before the election. I was the first to ever raise the issue of marriage equality. Certainly in the last Assembly, we had a majority in favour of marriage equality. I believe we will get that legislation, although it will be hard won. And again, the Green Party kick-started that conversation. So across a number of issues, despite our size, we've been able to punch above our weight. And we're giving people in this election the opportunity to change the face of politics in Northern Ireland by electing Greens in every constituency.
Thanks for coming in, Stephen.
Thank you very much.
Well, you than me. It's easier to ask the questions than answer them.
Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much indeed. Stephen McNew, the leader of the Green Party this morning.